This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
Opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team out, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
This is the Press Pass here on 1059, 1450 and NHTalkRadio.com. Press Pass presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices NH Addiction Recovery Services. Riverbend wants you to know that treatment works. Appreciate you joining us for the show. I am Chris Ryan. We'll break things down into three segments here, focusing on the Patriots and the Celtics and the Bruins getting started next week as well. Of course, the Patriots season came to a close this Sunday with a victory over the New York Jets, a solid 28-14 performance. One of the best performances in perhaps his last game in a Patriots uniform for Cam Newton. Patriots, a lot of decisions to make in the offseason. The quarterback position, certainly one of them, upgrading at wide receiver and also at tight end. Linebackers, what's going to be the future of Dante Hightower? Is he going to return after opting out of this season? They need to certainly get better there. And also, James White might not be back with the Patriots either. The Super Bowl hero and three-time champion is a free agent. We'll start with Cam Newton and his thoughts after the game on Sunday, and the Patriots' victory over the Jets would put them at 7-9 on the season to close things out.
I have my desires. I know what my heart's at. I know, you know, the things that, you know, who I am. But as far as that, I can't really speak on that right now. But just my whole time here in New England has just been a blessing. I've learned so much about myself, about the great teammates, unbelievable coaching. And, so I just see how it goes and, you know, go from there.
Hey, Cam, on the drive and you guys are down 14-7, end up tying the game. Take me through your mindset on that. You had the big third down that you ran for that, obviously the catch from Jacoby Myers. And you kind of know what Tara was saying, too. It just seemed like you're having fun a lot out there. And has that been missing this year to some extent?
Sometimes, because you were thinking. But today, you know, everything meshed in ways that we wanted it to mesh. You know, obviously we hit a lull there, but, you know, we knew, you know, we just needed to keep going and keep plugging away, and that's what we did. So, you know, success brings a different swagger and a different comfort. And, you know, obviously scoring touchdowns, you know, back-to-back touchdowns, you know, will kind of do it for anybody.
And when you went into the locker room after the game, was there, you know, a sense of finality at all in how you were kind of going through things from a mental standpoint, or what was your overall mindset post game with the guys?
No, it wasn't. Yeah, we played this game to win, but you know, our season is done. You know, we got the talent in that locker room to be still, you know, playing for a playoff berth and making a deep run in the playoffs. So, you know, that's the realization of things of you know, you know what we can possibly do. You know, we can, you know, we're capable of, but, you know, we just didn't show it enough this year. And, you know, but yet through it all, you know, we did finish strong today.
Also talked with Patriots running back James White. Hey, James, hope all is well with you. Just your thoughts on the season coming to a close, and you obviously faced tremendous personal adversity this year, had the support of your teammates obviously through that, and the team faced a lot of adversity. What did you learn about this group and yourself through the course of a challenging season?
The season definitely didn't go necessarily the way we wanted it to, but I thought guys came to work each and every week, ready to compete, prepared hard, and we just tried to put our best foot forward. Obviously, we didn't win as many games as we necessarily wanted to, but I thought guys competed hard throughout the entire season, including the last game. I think it took tremendous strides, and we have a great group of guys in the locker room. A lot of guys went through a lot this season, you know, including myself and, you know, guys like Devin McCourty. And just to have, you know, great teammates in the locker room that kind of help us, you know, get through these tough times was definitely a big help.
And, you know, what do you hope are the takeaways from some of the younger players on this team? And how much did, you know, the veteran leadership of this group try to set the tone for the culture of winning and how you prepare regardless of circumstance?
I think we had a lot of young guys. They got a lot of opportunity to play. And I think they learned a lot this year. And us as veterans just tried to show them the way how to, you know, study film, practice hard, and go out there and just, you know, have fun out there on game day. So I think they'll use this year to, you know, kind of propel them moving forward.
Yeah, sure. Just your personal reflection on your year from a production standpoint and where you thought, you know, your season was at from your own your standards.
I mean, I didn't necessarily have the production that I necessarily wanted to have, but it happens sometimes, and it's usually as motivation for next season to find ways to improve and go out there and be more productive.
Was there a sense after the game that there's, you know, sort of a finality for a lot of the guys on this roster? And what was obviously different this year about the way that things concluded and how individuals are thinking about the future, perhaps compared to other seasons?
I mean, I can't speak for anybody else, but like I said, we didn't finish the season the way we wanted to. Obviously, we definitely had higher hopes, and I thought guys competed the way they needed to. Obviously, didn't turn out to as many wins as we wanted to be, but like I said, I think it'd be motivation for everybody to move forward.
Looking in that running back room, obviously there's some decisions to be made in the offseason, but what do you take away from that group, particularly a guy like J.J. Taylor? What have you seen from him and the way that Sony has bounced back the last couple weeks after the injury?
J.J.'s going to be a good football player, like a little bottle rocket, a little strong guy. He's fast. He can catch the ball. He can run with it. They have a bright future, that's for sure. And Sony getting back into the mix, he has a lot of great football left in him. And as you can see, the past few weeks, he's been explosive for us. So, I mean, he has a bright future as well.
Here are the thoughts of Patriots safety Devin McCourty, another individual that is kind of on the situation where he is at 33 years of age, but is under contract for next year. He is expected to return.
This area is a lot like this team. You know, it didn't go well. But from social media, people reaching out and still supporting. And I felt like this would have been one of those games where, you know, as much as we wanted more, the fans would have been happy with the effort and the character of this team. Because I feel like truly that is the character of this area, whether you're in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, any of these states, Connecticut. Like when you're in a New England area, you know, that's what you get. You get hard-nosed, hardworking people. It doesn't always go the way that everyone wants, but I think one thing you know is it's going to be a constant fight, and you see that with every, you know, show or movie based in Boston. It's all about fighters. So, you know, I think we definitely missed the fans today, just to send this team off the right way, to send some of these guys that won't be back in Patriot uniforms off the right way. You know, I think, you know, I missed that, just having that and seeing that. It's just a sad way for the season to end, just with no one there.
Hey, Dev, it seemed like the way you guys responded down 14-7 with Cam's drive and then defense after that, J.C. Jackson interception, kind of epitomized what you're talking about right there. And what was the feeling, you know, in that moment, and what did it mean to you to see, you know, the response, given what you talked about with the nature of the game, your pregame speech, to see the team respond like that down 14-7?
I think all throughout the game, guys were just having fun. It was let's just go out there and play. Nothing wavered. You know, we didn't worry about anything. I would even go out and say, you know, we wanted to win, but it wasn't just about winning or losing. It was just having fun one last time with this group of men. And I think everyone had that mentality of like, let me do what's best for the guy next to me. And I think you saw that all throughout the game. Even on JC's interception, I tried to jump the route. There was somebody else there on the outside. Ball gets overthrown. JC ends up with a pick, and Jay Jones ends up with an interception because JC gets picked, and John comes off. He sees it. He intercepts a ball thrown to JC's man, and that's what it's about. And I think this team continued to fight. Whether we were up 7 early, down 7, got the lead, it was all about just continuing to play, and I think that showed up with us getting the interception by Jay Jones and then the offense finishing out and then having one last play. I think that's the way we wanted to end it, and I'm proud that, you know, we got to do it that way.
And also, is there a sense that this team is heading for a significant turnover in regards to the roster? You mentioned you wanted to be a part of it, but was that a theme today as well, where a lot of these guys may not be a part of this team next year, and that feeling kind of permeating through the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a feeling for the last couple of weeks. I think everyone knew that. I think being a veteran, you don't let that affect you. That means you need to put your best foot forward each time you go out there. And I think that's what we tried to preach to every guy in this locker room. But I think no matter what team is doing well, team's not doing well, when you get towards the end of the season, it's the realization of next year won't be the same. And obviously it's even more when you don't make the playoffs and you don't have a good season. And I think for each guy, that means a lot when you know you got one more game left with a group of guys, and call it, if you're an offensive lineman, it's with that group of men that you go to battle with. If you're in the secondary, if you're in a skill position on offense or the D-line, like, there's just unique bonds and relationships within this locker room. I think it means a lot when guys say that, it's my last game with this guy or that guy. That means a lot to guys. And I think, it's good to go out there with it on your mind, but it's good to realize that means you need to give it all you got.
Thanks, Dev.
Okay.
Matthew Slater may very likely be headed to the National Football Hall of Fame one day, but the 35-year-old is not sure if his career has come to a close at this point. Hey, Matthew, you spoke really eloquently about addressing the challenges of COVID and embracing them to a large degree as opposed to just kind of pushing them aside. And Bill was effusive in his praise for the leadership of this group. And I'm curious, what you learned about the leadership in the challenges this year that perhaps you didn't know about guys in the past, and what you've seen from this group in response to adversity.
Yeah, some of these guys I've been playing with for a long time. I've been playing with Devin McCourty for 11 years. David and James have been playing with for a while. Lawrence a while now. And then some of these guys were newer. I haven't been playing with this long. But I think when I think about guys like Jason and Devin in particular, just the way that they stood up in the face of adversity, I think when things start going wrong, you have choices to make. You can point fingers. You can come up with excuses. Your effort can change. Your attitude can change. And I didn't see that from our leadership. As challenging as it was for a lot of those guys, they continued to come in with the same approach each and every day. And I think that speaks a lot to their character. And I knew the character of a lot of these guys, but they showed me even more this year. And even a guy that I didn't know very well coming into this season, Cam Newton, I think he showed great leadership for us. He obviously struggled with COVID and had other things that he was dealing with. Whether it was inside or outside of football, and he handled it well. I think his attitude and approach never wavered. So when you're working with good people, it makes times like these a lot easier to navigate. And certainly this has been a challenging – 2020 was a challenging year for all of us. It doesn't matter who you are. If you live in America, it was a challenging year. And I think what we learn is that, again, you have choices to make in the face of adversity. And our guys made great choices. Their character grew. I think they were forged by the fire, and their character grew. And hopefully we're better men for it on the other side of it, because in life, there's going to be a 2020 year for all of us. You lose a parent, you lose a sibling, you get a phone call from a doctor you don't want, and you're going to be faced with choices. Hey, do I just give up on life? Do I kind of pack it in, or do I find a way to have faith and continue to navigate, continue to be there for the people that need me, continue to try to lead in a positive way? And I think our guys did a great job of that all season long.
Did anything feel any different to you leaving the field, this Sunday as compared to previous Sundays at the end of seasons? Was there, any sort of sense of finality, or did you just, in how you prepared to leave, etc., or did you just take a step back and say the process is going to be in the off season?
I mean, it was a little different that there were no fans there, obviously. But I think for me, having been here so long and knowing what the expectation is, whenever you leave a game in Foxborough and it's the last game of the season, it's disappointing. And as I mentioned earlier, for me, you don't know how many more of those games you're going to have leaving Foxborough. So I try to take it in, enjoy it. But yet, I think we're all disappointed that this was the last game and this is how the season ended. You know, thankfully we could win, but all in all, you know, you had a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth. But again, I preach gratitude, and I know I'm kind of speaking out of both sides of my mouth. I am thankful for the year. I'm thankful for my health. Thankful for another opportunity to represent this organization in 2020. And I think you try to take all those things in stride and remain grateful.
Patriots center David Andrews is another individual who is a free agent.
Hey, David. Hope all is well with you. I wanted to ask you about, you know, what the feeling was like amongst the guys after this game and after, you know, this season. And was there kind of a sense of finality for some in that the roster was likely to change? And what were your overall sense, you know, being in the room with the guys as the season came to a close?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can't speak for anyone else, but, you know, you always want to win after the season, right? So obviously the season wasn't how we wanted it, but getting the last win, you know, it was a lot better going out that way. But I think, you know, it's just part of, like I said, part of this business and every year, you know, and yeah, it just is every year. And I don't know, man, it's just it's a wild thing, but, you know, especially a lot of guys you played a lot of ball with, you know, it's emotional at times, but, you know, it happens every year. And, you know, I wish we could all stay together and all play together forever. And, you know, but I forget who it was one time told me, an older guy, you know, that they kept every team picture and then the next year crossed out people that weren't there anymore or retired, whatever, right? And it's just, it is wild, the turnover, you know, that every team's about to go through. It's an interesting thing, so.
I want to ask you as well, get your perspective on being an undrafted player and how, you know, Bill is able to have success with a lot of undrafted players or lower draft choices. And you mentioned, you know, he tried you out and others weren't, you know, willing to take a look. Why do you think that there's been a lot of focus on the first round and this franchise, but why do you think this franchise has been able to develop undrafted and low draft choices the way that they have been able to?
I don't know. I don't know what Bill's criteria is or how he looks at guys or, you know, who he decides he's going to come work out and do stuff like that. So I don't really know. But just from my personal experience, I think, you know, being able to come in and just play football and develop everybody and, you know, it wasn't just the first team getting reps, it's everybody getting reps. You know, that is really important. And, you know, I think in this, you know, in the business, you know, I was given an opportunity in my rookie year, right? Some injuries and stuff like that. Who knows if I kind of went in there and floundered that opportunity, would I have another one? I don't know. So, but I was prepared for that opportunity, you know, from a lot of the things we were doing. And, you know, I mean, I remember in the spring, all the meetings we would go to and, you know, a lot of different guys, you know, whether it be Googe, the O-line coach when I came in, or Jerry helping me. You know, there was just so many people on the coaching staff trying to help us. Joe Judge was, you know, did a lot for us my rookie year, just trying to help us be professionals. And you're just in an environment where everything is put around you for you to succeed, and you just have to take advantage of it.
Thanks. J.C. Jackson, coming off a career-high 9 interceptions, which was second in the National Football League, is a restricted free agent. Hey, J.C., your 9th pick of the year, obviously a big one after the Pats scored to tie it. Your thoughts on that play and the year that you had intercepting the football?
I mean, like I always say, man, I just see the ball, I make plays on the ball. I'm a ball hawk. That's what I get paid to do. It's my, like you said, my 9th pick of the season. I feel like I could have had more than that. I mean, but that's a hell of a season to have 9 picks. I just got to continue to grow and get better for 2021 season.
And on that growth side of things, how important was this win to end the season on a high note and to kind of put some of the difficult times in the past, the last 3 games, and go into the offseason on this win?
I mean, it was important because, you know, it's a new year. I mean, to get things rolling with a win, like it was a great way to start the year to get a win. You know, even though we're not going to the playoffs or anything like that, but to get a win today was a big help for us. Like I feel like we finished the season the right way.
Strong finish to the season for Sony Michel. I talked to the Patriots running back about that. Wanted to get your comment on the way you've run the football over the last 3 games, and do you feel that this is amongst the best stretches you've had in terms of getting extra yardage, having a good burst, and the way you've felt running the football?
Oh, that's my goal, you know, each and every year to try to improve, to try to feel stronger, especially towards the end of the year, try to grow, try to, try to be the best version of me. You know, unfortunately, the season kind of, you know, been ups and downs, you know, for this team, for myself, but at the end of the day, you just got to keep going, keep grinding and pushing forward.
Did you think it was an important thing for you to, you know, make a statement about how well you can still run the football and just the piece of the puzzle you can be for the Patriots, given how, you know, Damian ran the football this year?
For me, it's about performing. I'm doing my job and doing my job to the best of the ability. Damian's a great player. He's going to continue to run the ball well. And it's my job to try to do my best to, you know, run the ball well also, and do whatever is told of me. And that's all I can continue to do, and that's all I will do.
Myers had a great year for the Pats. He emerged as a receiver who's part of the solution for the Patriots in the future. Hey, Jacobia, congrats on the win. Take me inside that drive. You're down 14-7. Cam makes a number of big plays on that drive, gets the third down on the run. And when you first heard that play call, what was your reaction, and what do you think it meant game-wise just in terms of deflating the Jets to see you throw that touchdown pass to Cam?
I was ready for it this time. The Ravens game, it caught me off guard. I'm like, it's kind of wet out here. What's going on? I don't think you meant to call that. But this time I was kind of ready for it. I knew that Cam was pretty much bigger than everybody in a secondary, so all I had to do was put in the sky for him, and I was hoping he'd make the play. But it definitely, I feel like that was a blow to him, and we just built up that momentum.
And the game itself, coming out with a win in the last game of the year and what's been a disappointing season, how good does it feel to win the way you did in this one and go into the offseason on that high?
It feels amazing. We're still competitors regardless of our situation, so you always want to go out there and put your best foot forward and get good tape, honestly, so I feel great. I know the team feel great, and we'll just build off this going forward.
Given your route to, you know, the NFL, do you feel that you've, you know, surpassed your expectations for, you know, for this year? Do you feel like you've been able to create an impact more than perhaps you had expected going into the season, or did you have this type of a vision for if you receive the playing time, you would make the most of that playing time?
Oh, definitely. I mean, after last year, kind of playing a little bit and then finding my way back to the bench, I knew that if I got the opportunity again, I'd definitely take advantage of it. And like with every opportunity I got, I would do the most to capitalize on that moment. So this was kind of my goal, just moving forward. Whatever you get, you better use it wisely and use everything you got. Don't leave any bullets in the clip. So that's all I try to do this year.
How much do you think your knowledge of the quarterback position allowed for you to understand the wide receiver role, perhaps in a way that's different than other individuals who are just strictly wide receivers? And how have you been able to utilize that knowledge, if so?
It definitely helped me learn plays, big picture, and just understanding spacing and time, and it helps me get to where I need to be when I need to be there. So I would definitely say that having that little QB clock and understanding where I have to be at a certain time is probably the biggest thing.
This is the Press Pass on KXL, presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health. I am Chris Ryan. Do some Celtics up next. Civic Hotel, of course, your home for Boston Celtics basketball. I am Chris Ryan. This is the Press Pass here on KXL 199, 1450 and NHTalkRadio.com. Press Pass is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health. In this segment of the show, brought to you by the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first and has since 1951. If you can't make it to one of the two locations, the Prescription Center will deliver your prescriptions to you free of charge. It's the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. Appreciate you joining us for the show. Celtics 5-3 on the young season. Got off to a bit of a rough start, but the Celtics have had a number of quality wins as of late, including on Wednesday night in Miami over the Heat. As Peyton Pritchard has been a great surprise for the Celtics. Had a putback with 0.2 seconds to go. But the Celtics' minds that day were on Washington, D.C., as the rest of the nation was. Here was Celtics head coach Brad Stevens pregame.
You know, I think we all hope that the people we elect to lead us are supposed to be modeling leadership. We'll do so in a way that, you know, is motivated by serving others, by showing compassion, by acting gracefully, you know, and instead, we elected a president who luckily is on his way out, and others that have not shown that kind of grace. It's been consistent. And, you know, they've just operated in a win at all costs attitude. And I don't know, you know, in our sports world's a lot less important, obviously. But I've always thought if you operate with win at all cost attitude, it's going to be a pretty unfulfilling ending. And in this situation, a disgraceful ending. And so I'm looking forward to 2 weeks from now, as I know a lot of other people are too.
Hey, Brad, you guys obviously spent a lot of time in the bubble addressing these types of issues, but one of the big takeaways for a lot of people today seems to be, you know, the relative ease of which the protesters were able to gain access to the Capitol and how that took place, and comparing that with how, you know, African Americans and other protesters have been treated in many circumstances that weren't as significant as this. What were your takeaways in regards to that, and is that something, you know, that the players have been discussing too?
My own personal takeaway is the same as many of you, that we have a long way to go. My own personal belief is that 2 weeks from now, we'll be in a lot better spot, but also recognizing that we have a long way to go. And so we've talked about that obviously all summer and continue to. And I think that ultimately what we have to do from our own seats is just what you all have to do from your own seats, is that, you know, contribute in any way we can, make sure that we're part of the doing the right thing, and make sure that we continue to prioritize it as something that we will really want to not only talk about, get asked questions about, but do something about. And so, you know, I've been proud to be a part of this group. I've been proud to be a part of the NBA group. I know all the great stuff the Miami Heat have done, their players and coaches. I was in those meetings with those guys last summer. And, you know, that's one of the things that you feel good about, but by no means do you feel like you can, you want to keep doing it. Let's put it that way.
The development of Jaylen Brown has been remarkable, and his side-by-side play of Jason Tatum has made the Celtics a really strong, legit team this year. We start with Jaylen Brown after the Celtics game in Detroit earlier this week. Hey, Jaylen, you and Jason have obviously always had the confidence to close games on both ends of the floor, but what does it mean to you guys to see, you know, the evidence that you're making these plays at both ends of the floor and winning games for this team?
Obviously, big plays, big shots that we had that we didn't have the first game, but to be honest, we allowed the game to be closer than it should have been. Give a lot of credit to Detroit once again. It came out, I thought we played a lot better defense and they still hit some tough shots. So I give them a lot of credit. I think they're well coached, Wayne Casey. And they came out and played as well, both games. we got to do a better job of raising our intensity and stopping guys in the game. We'll have to come down to those last minute possessions, but when they do, yeah, it's a process, and today was a part of that process.
Jalen, the high-level consistency of your game and the confidence you've had with the ball in your hands through the first seven games has been pretty remarkable. What has led to the success? What have been the keys in those two areas?
Just opportunity. That's it, really. Just different responsibility, and I'm trying to take advantage of it and handle it the right accord, not turning the ball over, getting guys involved.
Here is Jason Tatum, who dropped 40 earlier this week. Hey, Jason, after the Pacers game, the first one, you said you needed to, you know, put more pressure on the defense. And I'm curious, you know, does that moment create some of the success you've had as of late, where you have a different mindset off of that? And is that a part of your growth, learning from those type of experiences and then mastering things to have success?
Yeah, you just learn from your experience. You know, I think I did a better job catching it closer and, you know, just learn from it, watch film. You know, I figured that being that situation when the game's on the line, you know, I want to be in that situation. So just, learning from the shots I do make, learning from the shots I don't, but you know, I always want to be in that situation.
Celtics play has been a little bit up and down, and Brad Stevens talked with me about that.
Hey, Brad, you mentioned yesterday that the unevenness of performances is kind of something you had anticipated, and you mentioned in the preseason. You also said that you're going to kind of develop the identity of the group through the year. Have you sensed here early on that the group has started to establish the identity? And if so, what is it?
I know what we need to do to be good. You know, we're at least to be as good as we can be. And so I think that, you know, those are things that we talk about every day that, you know, you've seen flashes of at times, but the other team is out there too. I've known from the day we started training camp and, you know, as I've watched this group that there's going to be challenges and there's going to be times that we're just going to have to, you know, chip away at improving because, you know, it is what it is. And I think that ultimately, we've shown that we are capable of playing good basketball. It's going to take a ton of effort on both ends of the court. You know, when we are slow to react defensively, when all five guys aren't engaged in the play, or when we're not spaced well offensively and all five guys aren't engaged in the play, we're not a very good team. And I think so that it all starts with, you know, us all being very good at our jobs on both ends of the court. And, you know, we'll see where we can get. I think that we can be a good team if we do that well. Like many other teams, we're building towards that. We're not there yet.
Robert Williams has been a great asset for the Celtics off the bench. He, along with Tristan Thompson and Grant Williams, find themselves in quarantine at reportedly this point in time as a result of COVID.
Slowing down and just really recognizing my voice is heard from our teammates and coaches, you know, as far as just putting people in their spots on defense, offense, set people up to run the right plays, and just a different level of confidence.
Kind of called your shot prior to this year and said this was going to be a breakout season for you, and you've pushed forward, you know, the necessary effort and intensity, it seems, to have that come to fruition. What's been the key for you in keeping that effort and intensity consistent and in finding this role?
Honestly, like you said, just consistency and reliability. You know, reliability means a lot to coaches and players around here, as it should. So, you know, I just want to be able to be the guy that can always count on.
This is the Press Pass on 1-9, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. Bruins begin their season on January the 14th. We look at them up next.
Bruins open up the season on January the 14th. This is the Press Pass on KXL, presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health. I am Chris Ryan. It's going to be a shortened season, 56 games. There'll be eight teams in the Bruins division, and they'll play each of those eight teams seven times. 56-game schedule for the Boston Bruins as they get set for what is going to be a very interesting and abbreviated 2021 season. Of course, Bruins will be without Zdeno Chara, their captain, who signed with the Washington Capitals after not being guaranteed a significant role with this Bruins team. Also, Torrey Krug, great defenseman, particularly on the power play, leading that point, has left as well. I talked about this with Bruins center Charlie Coyle. Hey, Charlie, interested in the mindset going into a season where there are so many unknowns. You have this very short training camp, a little over a week. You have a condensed schedule. You have significant changes to your roster. I'm curious as to what that's like, particularly for the hockey player that is so used to consistency, structure, and what is that like for you going into the season?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of went through it with the bubble, a totally different circumstance, not knowing what was going to go on, if there were going to be a ton of COVID cases and how would we go about that, or a lot of different things. So I think that can help us already going through it a little bit. I know this is a little different as well from the bubble, but you just got to adjust to it and kind of be ready for whatever happens. Have a positive mindset and just if something kind of expect something's going to happen and hey, we'll deal with it. We'll move on and move through it together. And we got to have everyone ready, whether it's hopefully not, but guys getting sick or injuries, you know, there's stuff that can still play that we've gone through in previous years. So it's just next man up. Everyone kind of take on more responsibility and that's what we need for everyone.
With Zdeno Chara gone, how does that affect you as a leader? You've been a leader in that room, but does that role increase now that Chara has departed?
Yeah, you can't. No one person can replace Z in what he brings. That's you can, and but it's we need everyone to step up. Everyone's a year older, a year more mature, and comes from younger guys, comes from middle group, and even the older guys too. Everyone's got to kind of pull the rope a little more and take on more responsibility, more leadership. And like I said, he's a tough guy to try to replace and what he brings. He's the best. So we all need to chip in a little bit in that department and everyone needs to take on that role a little more too. And we can't just rely on, you know, Briggy or Kretsch or Marshy, you know, those guys to do it all. Everyone needs to step up and take on more responsibility that way.
Thanks, Chuck.
Yep.
Brandon Carlo played side by side with Torrey Krug during their time in Boston. Hey, Brandon, what do you think the quality of play is going to be like early on in the season, you know, without exhibition games and kind of this condensed training camp? Do you think it's going to be choppy, and how does that, you know, affect you as a player?
I think there will definitely be parts that are choppy through preseason. There's always those moments where, you know, pucks are kind of flying around. You know, you're trying to find your positioning and get into the right spot. So I think there will definitely be a transition period. But hopefully, you know, with the guys that we have within this group, a lot of us understand the systems and where we need to be. So I feel like as long as we go out there and just work hard and move our feet, that'll eliminate some of those negative plays and those, you know, harder situations where you're trying to feel the game out in the beginning. So I think it all starts with us just recognizing that it's going to be a shotgun start, a little different, but embracing the opportunity to go out there and take advantage of it as well. You know, every team that we're going to be playing is going to be in the same position. So it's a good opportunity for us.
Has it been weird not seeing Torrey Krug on your left, or have you gotten past that here in training camp?
I'll always miss Torrey. He was amazing on and off the ice. Love the guy to death. But You know, I've gotten to terms with it. Being with Grizzy out there, I'm excited. We're having fun. When he's making plays, I tell him that he's dropping my jaw at times. It's fun to watch him play and then move the puck with him. So I've had a blast adjusting to that, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun this year.
Bruins played a bit of a prank on Patrice Bergeron in saying that they had actually named Brad Marchand as the captain, but of course it was number 37 who became the next captain of the Boston Bruins. A good little side note there. Jake DeBrusk is coming into a year looking for a big one with the Bees. Hey, Jake, you're curious as to what you feel the challenge is going into a season where there's so many unknowns from, you know, the COVID standpoint, a significant roster change with Nosy and Torrey, the really condensed, not even a preseason, just a training camp. How do you plan to deal with all those different challenges, and how do you feel the group's going to deal with it collectively? Because you're used to such consistency and structure from, you know, your upbringing.
It's definitely different. Yeah, it's definitely something that we're all going through together, I guess. And I guess you can even talk about even before the bubble, even just the fast pace of just kind of getting into the swing of games there was different as well. But you know, I think the best way to kind of attack it is just really use this time to the best of your ability. You know, use this training camp as kind of your judgment call before going into games. And it's one of those things that, you know, obviously games are different. You're not playing against the same players you practice against every day, but we'll be seeing them a lot. So it's definitely something that we've talked about as a group, and it's kind of just a matter of understanding where your game's at and, you know, trying to get moving as fast as possible in the right way. Like you said, the structure is kind of one of the things that I think we also focused on a little bit today, of just you know, offensive zone stuff and just trying to get certain pieces back into the feel of a game, because with no preseason, it's definitely going to be a little bit of a weird vibe going into it, but the other teams are going through the exact same thing, so it's not like we're at a disadvantage there.
Do you sense that this has the opportunity to be a breakout season for you? Do you feel like it's kind of aligning in terms of your health and your feel, line mates, that this could be, you know, a big year for you?
I sure hope so. Yeah, that's the goal. That's the mindset that I have coming in here. Obviously want to bounce back after last year. It wasn't necessarily the year that I expected out of myself. And I've kind of, you know, looked back and reflected on certain things, but I'm really excited to get this year going. It's going to be a different year in the sense of some things that we just talked about, especially at the start, and probably throughout the middle of the year, it'll be a little bit different for every player. But yeah, I think that I'm obviously looking to make some noise here and help our team out the best way I can. And, you know, obviously with, you know, spend some more time here in training camp with some certain line mates and certain sets, it's, you know, it's, I'm looking forward to it. It's obviously what every player, you know, the start of the year is the most exciting part.
It's the Press Pass on KXL presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the show.